Good morning. As we began discussing last week, Me'ikar Hadin, if a person claims you owe me $10 million, the Nitva denies it, says nothing of the sort. So even in a case where there is some circumstantial evidence, the halacha is we are not Moitzi Mamon with circumstantial evidence. You need Eidim, you need Hadas Baldin, you need something very solid. So Me'ikar Hadin, the Teveya, would have no recourse. Once it's denied, he has no Eidim. There's nothing he can do unless he's a Moed B'miktsas or one of those Gedarim. For that, as we learned last week, Chazal were Mesakin Yeshvuas Hesis. That if you claim that someone owes you money, even though you do not have a Raya, you don't have Eidim, and the person is a Kufer Bakal, nevertheless, Chazal instituted a Shvua Midrabanon Yeshvuas Hesis. And this serves as some form of protection. This way that a Teveya, even though there are no Eidim, he still has some leverage or some tool to force his counterparty to come clean, to tell the truth, and to reimburse him if he's not willing to make a Shvuah. Now, the Shvuah's Hesis does have certain requirements, and that is you can only demand a Shvuah's Hesis when you're a Tainas Bari. When you are very certain that the money is actually owed to you. On the other hand, if you're a Shema, the plaintiff, the Teveya, is not sure. He believes the money is owed. He thinks it may be. He remembers something. That is not enough to be Mechayev a Shvuas Hesis. You need a Tainas Bari. As we discussed last week, Varichos, if the Teveya is a Shema, he doesn't have direct knowledge, but there is some sort of Raglayim Ledover. There's evidence he suspects this person is the Ganev. The case was his store was robbed, was broken into, and he had some indications that it was the fellow next door to him. There was some loose panels, and he had reason to believe it was him. So that is a case of Raglayim Ledover. The Teveya doesn't know for sure. He doesn't have direct knowledge. But nevertheless, there is Raglayim Ledover. And we saw, according to the Ramah, you would be able to be Mashbia even though you're not a Bari. Nevertheless, Raglayim Ledover may be enough. Now, we did point out that the Raglayim Ledover has to be fairly strong. The Shach said Bezdin has to have the Raglayim Ledover. Bezdin has to see the evidence and conclude that, yes, this person is the prime suspect. He is probably one that owes the money. Then the Bezdin, in their discretion, can impose a Shavua. On the other hand, if the Baal Din himself just jumps to conclusions and says, "I suspect this person. I always knew he was no good. I just know from the way he looked at me." That's not enough, according to the Shach. The Bezdin has to back up, if you will, and see that there is evidence. There's reason to believe this person is the suspect. Others we added from the Radvaz that it has to be that this Raglayim Dover is not enough. Just that there is some form of suspicion. It has to be a Bari. The evidence has to be compelling enough that the Baal Din is certain that this person is the crook. So although you cannot be Moitzi Mamon, simply because the evidence points in that direction, it's not 1,000%, but nevertheless, it's a suspicion, or it might be him, or it's likely him is not enough. It has to be where the Baal Din himself, at least, is a Bari, is sure that fellow is guilty. Now, also, as we discussed last week, according to the Sma, if you have Raglayim Ledover, if you do have evidence, the Sma says not only is that enough for a Shvuas Hesis, if you take matters into your own hand, if you're a Teifus, you seize the goods, you seize what you're owed, the Sma says you can keep it. As long as you are a Bari based on the evidence, the Raglayim Ledover, we cannot take it away from you. Others argue, the Shach says you can't, unless you have Eidim or Hadas Baal Din. It's one thing to use circumstantial evidence to impose a Shvuah, to go ahead and to take matters into your own hands and be Teifus. The Shach and many other Akhoidim say you cannot do. On the other hand, the Piskei Tshuva does bring some that agree with the Sma, and in many cases, it's likely you'll be able to say Kimli if you're actually the Muchzik and holding on to the money. The last point we raised is that in certain cases, again, halacha v'loy l'maisa, in certain cases, the Bezdin has the right to coerce the person, use enhanced interrogation techniques if they have a Goliath Ledover that this person is guilty, in order to force him to admit, in order to force him to confess, so that the Bezdin will be able to find and be moitzi the moment. Now, these are all cases where you have evidence. There is, the store is robbed, there are some loose panels between your store and the next, so that's pretty decent evidence that the crook came from next door. What is the halacha if there's no evidence, but there is an eid echad, someone comes forward and says, yes, this person is the guilty party. On the other hand, the baldin, the plaintiff, doesn't know. He has no direct knowledge. It's just this the testimony of an eid echad. Is that enough to be mashbiah, to be mashbiah the person? So here there are a number of different levels that we find. If the eid echad is a kosher eid, he's not negev adavar, he's not related, he's someone who is an acceptable witness, and he comes forward, comes to Bez, and testifies, I saw this person break into the store, he's the crook, he's the one that owes the money. So in that case, you have an eid echad. Even though the Baal Din is a Shema, nevertheless, when there is an eid echad backing him up, that certainly is enough to have a din of a bari, to be mechayev a shvua, and that certainly would be acceptable. What happens, however, if this eid echad is not kosher? The eid echad is someone who is related to you. So if it comes to real, true eidus, it's not a true Haggadah eidus. On the other hand, the Baal Din, although he didn't see who broke into the store, his cousin or happened to have been walking by, and he saw the ganav, and now the Baal Din is very certain he trusts his cousin. His cousin told him, I saw him, this is the person, he's the ganav. So now the Baal Din is very certain about what happened, but his knowledge is not based on direct knowledge, it's based on hearsay, if you will. It's based on the eid echad, which is not a kosher eid. So here the halacha is, it's actually a machlokes, but many poskim say that is enough to be mechayev a shvuas hesus. Because again, we're not talking about being mitzi mamon. Although he's not a kosher aid, the fact that someone is saying, I saw it, he's the guilty party, that is enough to make a person into a bari. It's the equivalent of the Baal Din being sure, and he has the right to demand a shvuah. It's Lasayelis over here. If the halacha is that an aid who is a karev is enough to be mechayev a shvuah, that if I trust him, he's someone who I know is truthful, he wouldn't lie to me, that gives me enough. In other words, we're not talking about being mitzi mamon. We're not talking about proof. We're talking about, as long as the Baal Din is a bari, if he can make a claim that he says, I have no doubt, you are the one that's guilty, you owe, that's enough to be mechayev a shvuah. So if someone trustworthy told this to him, that's enough to give him a din of a bari de acher, and he has the right to demand a shvuah. It's not lashon hara because it's l'tayelis. Now he can't do anything with it. The only thing he can do is come to Beis Din, assert his claim, and demand the person either make a shvuah or pay. 100%. In other words, if you hold that you can't be samech on it, then it's lashon hara. You can't be makabelit, and the person who says it is over an iser by coming forward. So before you testify, you have to come to the shir, learn through a little bit of Siman Ayin Hei, and know whether it'll be accepted or not. Oh, very good, very good. So if the person is a negeah bedavar, in other words, if this aid has some negeahs over here, he's going to gain or benefit from this aidus, that's nothing. That's an absolute zero. Because someone who's negeah bedavar, we don't trust. Someone who's your cousin, the pshat is not a cousin who's going to lie. It's not a chashash mashaka. The pshat is, in Hilchus Eidus, someone who is a karev is not believed. So it doesn't have a din of Eidus, but here we do not need Eidus, here we just need you to be a bari, to obligate a shvua, that's acceptable. But the moment we don't trust what you're saying because you're a negeah bedavar, that's zero, and that will not help a kulayam. Now the same thing is probably true by a rasha. If the fellow who comes forward is a crook, so there also, he may not be negeah over here, but someone who is a crook is a rasha. We don't accept his testimony not simply because he's a rasha. We don't accept his testimony because he's simply not trustworthy. So there as well, that will not be enough to create a bari. No, the difference is like this. When an eid echad comes in and testifies, that has a din of eidus. Now, one eid is not enough to be mitzi mamon, but it is niskabel, it's enough to create a shvuah. So in that case, where you have an eidus that meets the criteria of eidus, that tells us what happened. And there, everyone agrees, or almost everyone agrees, that's enough to make a bari. The question here is that your cousin is not a kosher witness. So there's room to say, if it's not testimony, if Bezdin says, when he comes and to Bezdin and says, I want to testify, Bezdin says, you can't testify, go home. So once it's not edus, it's just hearsay, if you will, there already there's a quiet. Perhaps it doesn't make me into a bari, because I don't know. There's no edus. It's just some cousin saying Lashon Hara. No, so the Baal Din is not a question of Nemonis. The Baal Din's bari is just to be a taina. Now, a Baal Din, you know, B'dinehem, a Baal Din can testify. In Halacha, a Baal Din is never Nemon in his testimony. But when he's a bari, then Chazal said, when someone asserts a claim and he's a bari, there's a chiv to make a shvuas asis. Not because we believe him, but because there's a claim that we have to address. So a Baal Din's bari is not, we're going to believe it, but just because he is a bari, the person who denies it has to make a shvua to back himself up. When the Baal Din says, I don't know, and there's someone who's negeh b'davar that says he's the person, so this negeh b'davar is not a tiveya. It's not a taina because he's not a party here. The only thing he can do is give us testimony, give us knowledge, and since he has negiahs, we don't trust what he said and we don't have any knowledge. Oh, let me just. Now there are two ways of understanding this halacha. Why we rely on a relative. Many learn that it's really the same halacha we discussed last week. Just like we discussed last week, that if there's raglayim ledavar, if you walk into the store and you see there's a loose panel somewhere and there's evidence pointing to the fellow next door, that's enough to require a hesis. That's enough to be a bari. So the same thing is true if you have a relative who is a trustworthy person. So in Hilchas Eidos, he cannot be meyed. But as far as our raglayim ledavar, we now have very good reason to suspect this person because there's an upstanding citizen who's identifying the crook. He's not negeh b'davar. He's not a rasha. We have every reason to believe that it's true. So it creates a raglayim ledavar. So here we have an aid not coming in as a witness, b'tayrus Hilchas Eidos, but he's coming b'tayrus evidence, if you will, creating a raglayim ledavar, which is enough to require a shvuas asis. Shem Mishpan, on the other hand, argues and says, no. He says, because shvuas asis is the whole concept is durabanon. Midrabanon, Chazal said that they're going to accept the edus of a karov with negeh these halachas. So you find by edus, by aguna, certain cases where we'll accept edus of an eid echad. Here as well. Because we're dealing with durabanon, Chazal accepted them as an eid. Now, there's a very basic nafkamina between these two approaches. And that is, what happens if a person comes to Bezdin and says, my cousin saw Mr. Hershkowitz, he's the crook. My cousin happens to be out of town. He left. He's not here. He's not available to testify to the Bezdin. So according to the Shara Mishpat, this is halacha that when a geya shvuas hesis will accept a karev as a witness. If that's the case, so you have to follow the rules of Edus. You have to come to Bez and you have to testify. The fact that he told you privately that he saw this person, that means nothing. That's not Edus. That's just a conversation. So according to the Shai Mishpat, it's not enough that you simply heard from him. He asked to actually show up in Bezdin and assert that claim. Masha'in Kain, if you hold that it's not a din of Edus, it's simply a case of a raglayim ledavar, that by the fact that an upstanding citizen is identifying this person as being the guilty party, then it may not be Edus, but it creates enough of a suspicion to create a bari and to be mechayev a mishvua. In that case, perhaps he doesn't have to come to Bezdin. And as long as we can verify that he actually made the statement, it's actually true, then that may be enough to obligate a shvuas asis. Now, as we pointed out, according to the Shach regardless held that even by raglayim ledavar, Bezdin has to see the raglayim ledavar and conclude that this person is really the suspect. The Baal Din saying it alone is not enough. So according to the Shach, you certainly would have to come to Bezdin, or at least bring Edim that come to Bezdin and verify that this Karev is the one that identified this person. But I'll call upon him, if you go with this Mahalach of Raglayim Ledavar, you do not need Hilchas Edus, you don't need a formal testimony, you just need the fact that this statement is enough to make Raglayim Ledavar, to make us suspect that this person is the one that is guilty. Good. So then, if those bank records create a raglayim ledavar, if they see there's a money trail, So then forget the Eidos. We now have a Raglayim Ledover. And if the Baal Din is now, it's convincing enough, he'll be a Bari and he'll be Chayav Shvua. Not because of the Din of Eidos, but simply because of the Din of Raglayim Ledover. Yes. The halacha is if parties come in and say their story, and Beis Din believes someone is being untruthful, so then there clearly is an obligation on Beis Din to do drisha v'chakira. And even if the opposing counsel doesn't know how to cross-examine, it's Beis Din's responsibility to get to the truth. And there certainly is a chiyuv for Beis Din to go ahead and to find out who's telling the truth and dig up whatever facts are necessary or available to get to the truth. Now, that being said, if there's a story and a person doesn't assert a claim, this is already, again, it's a little, I'm going to oversimplify, but in general, Beis Din cannot assert a claim for you. Now, if there's a story and you're claiming X amount of dollars, and Beis Din realizes that perhaps you can make another claim and be entitled to more money or a different claim, very often Beis Din cannot go ahead and start raising new arguments for you or new claims that you didn't raise on your own. Now again, it's more complicated, perhaps when Beis Din sees it's a mistake, Hashavas Aveda, but that's the general rule, that we're not here to create problems, we're not here to create new claims, we're here to deal with the actual claims that you made. Now it doesn't mean you have to understand the halach. In other words, if you feel you were wrong, then what you say, you owe me money for this, you don't have to get the right siman in Shulchan Aruch or the right legal theory while you're asking for the funds. The point is, if they're making a claim that you caused me this damage and there's some other type of claim or other type of damage that you didn't assert, Beis Din generally has to keep quiet. Yes, so if it's a question of the truth, figuring out what happened, Beis Din certainly has a responsibility to figure out what happened. And like I said, just because the opposing counsel doesn't know how to cross-examine, the Beis Din will take over. In fact, in halacha, you don't really find the idea of cross-examination because it wasn't the opposing counsel, it's not the party's responsibility to prove and to trip up the other party. It's the dayan's responsibility to figure out who's telling the truth. So in theory, the structure is very different. The dayanim have a responsibility to both sides to figure out what happened, as opposed to sitting back and saying, listen, you two fight it out, you two, go through the evidence, present me whatever your arguments are, and I'll just issue a ruling. So in that sense, it is very different. You're relying much more on the dayanim. Perhaps that may be one of the reasons why we have three dayanim. Because it's not just a question of picking the two arguments. Beis Din has a proactive responsibility to figure out what happened and get to the truth. So again, going back, if you have an aid, even though he is a karov, even though he is not valid as an aid, nevertheless, if it's enough to create a bari shvus eses, either because in these halachas we accept a karov, or because it's enough to create a rabbi madavar, it's enough to create circumstantial evidence that we will rely on. This is a case where there's a tefiyah, the tevayah is a shema, but he's relying on the testimony of someone else, and as we pointed out, it's a machloikis. The shach says you cannot, it is that unless the person comes to Beis Din, you cannot rely on it. Even in Beis Din, we'll only rely on it when there is a reglayim ledover. The Ramah, on the other hand, says we are majbia based on an aid even outside of Beis Din. Tumim says today, where these things can be abused, people are less honest. Beis Din should not be quick to impose a shvuas hesis unless there's a clear testimony to Beis Din. Now, Shulchan Aruch then talks about another case. What happens if a person says, my father, before he died, told me that you owe me money? Father had a business. He had dealings with many people. So before he passed away, called in his children, let them know all of his affairs, and said, this person owes me money. And then he died. Now, in this case, is the Yorish a bari? No, he wasn't there. He has no direct knowledge that money is owed to the father. He's a bari ayidei acher. Essentially, in Eid Echad, his father, told him that money is owed. So therefore, chayra, based on what we've said before, it should depend on the same machlokes. And according to many poskim, since the father did not testify in Beis Din, it was outside of Beis Din, it's an Eid Echad, you're not even demand a shvuah. Now this is probably halacha l'maaseh, you probably cannot demand a shvuah. There are, however, some that argue and say this case is better. Why? So it's not better because it's your father and you trust, because all along we're talking about trustworthy people who the Eid Echad is someone who you rely on. Difference is that when the father said he owes me money, he was talking about money owed to himself. At that point, he wasn't just some third party telling you, I happened to walk by your store at 3 o'clock in the morning and I saw someone breaking into it. At that point, the money was owed to him. He was saying, I am a bari, this person owes me money. Now, had he come to Beis Din and said that, certainly he's a bari. The person, if he denied it, would have to make a shvuah. So in this case, where even though he died, and now that the child is coming, mikoyach, the Moirish, mikoyach, the father who was the Baal Davar, according to some Rishayim, this is better. And when you're bari mikoyach your father, that's enough to be mechayev a shvuah. Now here also, the Shach actually argues in this as well, and says it will not work, but this is less clear. Now this leads us to the last case, and that is, a person died, and they found in his ledger, in his books and records, that, you know, in the business's records, that someone owed money. And the question was, can you rely on a pinkus? Can you rely on a ledger? Does that enough to make you into a bari? Now in truth, just to broaden the question, you hire an attorney to work for you, or you hire an accountant to work for you. It goes to trial, they do your tax returns, and then when the dust settles, you get a bill. And the bill says, I worked this amount of hours, and he asks for payment. Do you have any way of knowing how much work the accountant really put in? Do you have any way of knowing how many hours the lawyer really spent on your case? No, the answer is you're completely at his mercy. So on the other hand, we have a very simple solution. Now that we're learning Tayyim Nitan for long enough, the lawyer says, I'm a bari, you owe me $50,000. You say, Mechatesa, I'm a shema. I don't know, any day in this chayavti. Maybe you did work these hours, maybe you didn't. You want me to make a shvua? Okay, I'll make a shvua that I don't know. I'm not going to swear that you didn't work the time because I'm not saying that. I'm just saying shema. How do I know that you ever did the work? And how in the world can you give me the bill? Yeah, well, in halva, it's a little bit. When you borrow money, you generally know how much you borrowed. I'm using the case of schiras because the person worked in his own office, and you really have no way of knowing how much time he actually put into it. So here we find the halacha, which I think is really the point that you're raising. Whenever you have a relationship or a deal where you ask someone to do something, and it's clear that he will know what's done and you will not know what's done, on one hand, it's understood you're going to pay him for what he did without demanding proof, because it's impossible to bring proof. On the other hand, it doesn't mean we just give him a blank check. And he comes back and say, okay, $6 million worth of billable hours, this is the bill, pay it up. So halacha is, he is the nijba v'noita. Chazal said you have to make that we believe you, but you have to make a shvua. If you make a shvua, then we make the Baal Din pay. He hired you. That's the risk that he took. If he didn't want to trust you, you should have hired someone else. So on one hand, the employer, the Baal boss, cannot just say shema. He's going to have to pay. But we force the teveya to make a shvua. Simply his word, or simply the fact that he says he put in this work, is not going to be enough. It's a takana derabanan. It's a nishba v'noito. Anytime you find a nishba v'noito, you make a shvua and you collect and you get paid. That will always be derabanan. The raisa shvua is always is nishba v'niftar. It's always you make a shvua and you're off the hook. This is derabanan, and again it's derabanan because we have a problem here. We can't say, but on the other hand, we don't want to give the poel, who really has the upper hand, there's no way for people to verify what happened. We have to have some sort of checks and balances to make sure that he's going to tell the truth. Okay, that's true. That's true. If he knows that he did some of it, that's true. He'll be a bari. It'll be a moida b'miktas, at least some of it. And there is mitoich in many cases. The problem that you'll have here is it's loy havalei leida, which means that normally if I borrow $100,000 from you, and I say $50,000 I paid back, and the other part I don't remember. So there we say mitoich. Since I'm a moedim mikzas, I have to make a shvua. Since I say I don't remember, I can't make a shvua that I paid you back. Mitoich shen ayochel l'shavu mishalim. Because I have to make a shvua and I can't, I have to pay instead. That's all true when if I borrow $100,000, I should know whether it's still outstanding or not. If I say 50 yes, 50 I'm not sure, mitoich shaloi, we say mitoich. On the other hand, in a case where it's loy havale meida, I have no way of knowing. I agree you did some work, and you did at least 5 billable hours. But I have no way of knowing whether you did 5 hours, 7 hours, or 10 hours, and you know that I don't know. The Shach adds that. If you know that I don't know, then there's no mitoich. There's no mitoich. Yeah. So in this case, where everyone, where the teveya is a bari, so there the halacha is, he's nishba v'noita. Let's move on to the next case, a little closer to home. A person has a business. He has clients coming, going, and Baruch Hashem, the business is very successful. He spends his mornings in the Beis Medrash learning. If there's a dispute over between a client, so who's the Baal Din? The owner of the business. If the owner of the business comes to Bez and says, listen, you owe me, we perform these services, you have to pay. Is the owner of the business a bari as far as what he did? No. The business says we put in this amount of time, you owe us $5,000. Same case. The difference over here is like this. When the lawyer is sending you the bill, the lawyer knows directly, I worked 10 hours on your job. Here's the bill. Now, the case over here is the company, the owner of the company, the person who's entitled to the money, doesn't know what's owed and what isn't. All he has is the company books and records. You're a supplier. You're constantly shipping goods. You're getting paid. You're shipping goods. If you have to come to Bez, and does the owner, can he testify firsthand, I remember every order you put in, every payment, and this is the balance due? Absolutely not. He comes in with his books and records and says, look, I have a ledger. It shows this is what I ship. It shows this is what you paid. Pay me the difference. Is that called a bari? You don't have any direct knowledge. You have records. You have a ledger that seems to show this is the balance due. It's not edus. Is that yediyah? Is that a raya? So this is a tremendous discussion. The Tshuvas HaRosh and Siman Pei Vav. And Klal Pei Vav is Aleph, has such a case where a person died. He apparently had taken a lot of money from investments from people shortly before his death. They found on his ledgers that said who he took money to and who we owed to. So the Rosh Paskins in that case, since there's Raglaim Adavar, since it was known that this person was investing other people's money, and on his ledger, it showed that shortly before his death, he had taken this 1,000 zuz. Zok the Rosh, we can force the Yisayimim to pay. Even though the Yisayimim have no idea, even though the Yisayimim in general, we do taninon for them, nevertheless, if the father's records showed that he owed money, we accept that as a raya, and we will force the Yisayimim to go ahead and to actually pay based on these records. So you see that a pinkus, we see the records of a business have meaning in halacha. And it's enough to make Yisayimim pay. Now, although this is the psak of the Rosh, there are a number of very important limitations to this. The first is that the Rosh's case is the ledger was being used against the person whose records they were. The father died. His records showed that he owed somebody money. What about the other case? Someone comes to Bez and says, listen, I don't remember anything, but I found in my records you owe me $5 million. Zok the Shach and the Noida Behuda, that's not going to be enough. Because it's one thing if you have records, it's like Hoidos Baldin. Just like if a person dies and you find a Ksav Yad, that I owe someone money. So, again, totally in certain limitations, we'll accept that. The father's saying he owes the money, so let him pay. So if the father's ledger showed that this money, these assets weren't his, they were investments from other people, we'll abide by that and return it to those people when there's Raglaim Ledavar. On the other hand, for someone to say, pull out his books and records and say, you owe me money, Mechatesa, who are you? I never trusted you, I never trusted your records. And therefore, to be Moitzi Mammon, things are not so simple. Now, the case, at least, where this halacha is said, where we don't rely on a ledger, is when someone out of the blue just comes, my ledger says that you owe me money. We do find in Siman Tzadi Aleph, if you have a relationship with someone, you're constantly buying and selling, and it's understood he's going to be relying on the ledger for the records, that might be different. Because when you open an account with someone and you're buying and selling, stuff is going back and forth, and you know the only way to verify it will be to rely on those records, that may be different. That might be similar to the concept we discussed before. Since I'm trusting you, I'm entering into this relationship, and I know the only way you have to figure out what's going on is to look at the records, that is better, and in that case, many times we will rely on the Pinchas. No, or it's going to be with a shvuah. To be meitzman on only a ledger, you're never going to be able to do. Now the Shach adds that even this idea of relying on a ledger, he adds two important points. The first is, and this is from the Marival b'Shem the Rosh, that it's only when it's known that you enter records, you update your ledger immediately. You do a deal, you ship something out, you immediately update your books. On the other hand, if once a week you sit down with your ledger and you go through and you fill everything in, then already things are a little bit more suspect. Then already mistakes can creep in, and we're not going to necessarily rely on it. It has to be where you're updating it miyad, you have it with you all the time. As soon as something gets shipped, it gets entered immediately. In that case, the Shach is actually talking about whether the lack of a record proves everything, anything. If a person says, you owe me money, he says, it's not in my ledger, it doesn't make sense, I borrowed. So as long as you constantly update your ledger, we can rely on that. And you can say, as a bari, that I never borrowed because it's not there. On the other hand, if you just update it periodically, then people tend to forget, and it's not a bari. Shach also says, we can only rely on a ledger when there's a chazaka, when it's known your books are very clean. They're very accurate. Once, on the other hand, it's not so precise, it's pretty good, but not completely accurate, then we will ignore it completely. Now this happens very often. You can have a business that's not so masudr, it's not that organized, there are books and records, but they're clearly incomplete, they don't capture everything. So in such a case, once it's suspect, once there are some problems, we will totally ignore this. We can only rely on this idea of a pinkus, the idea of relying on a ledger, is only when it's clearly clear that it is complete and accurate. We actually had a case a couple of years ago where it was two partners, it was a business, there was a lot of cash involved, things, money flying in, flying out. And he came to Beis Din with, you know, there was a whole complicated cheshbon. He came with a notebook, pages and pages of his handwritten scroll, things that he put in. And what's interesting is he came with he's claiming a fairly large sum of money. And the Beis Din made him go through the ledger. The ledger was very disorganized. He hired an accountant. He went through everything. And he presented to Beis Din a spreadsheet exactly what came in, what came out, and what was owed. Now, what was interesting is, in the Beis Din, there were questions that were asked. And it turns out that we caught a few mistakes. But what was interesting is the mistakes were all worked against the Tevei. Now, the person who brought the ledger, really, the ledger made, there were mistakes there, but there were mistakes that worked against him. As a matter of halacha, what the Beis Din held is that even though the mistakes were against him, once we see the ledger wasn't completely accurate, once we see he missed a few things, it's... What? He made a mistake. He was asking for $300,000. We found transactions. He's really entitled to $350,000. But nevertheless, even though the mistakes were against him, once we see this ledger was not complete, it wasn't completely accurate, he missed things, the same way we were able to prove that he missed things that were in his favor, it's equally possible he missed things that the ledger missed things that worked against him. So again, be that as it may, now the Tumim actually says, the Tumim argues on the Shach, he says it doesn't have to be incredibly accurate, he says any ledger, again, as long as the normal ledger is enough to create, is enough to be Mechayev Shvua. He points out that in the Goyish courts, he says, even back then, if you had a ledger, you were Nishbav and Oitel. The courts relied on it in order to be Moitzi Mamon. He says, Halacha is not like that. It's enough to be Mechayev, the defendant, to make a Shvua, but it's not enough to actually be Moitzi Mamon. So again, to summarize briefly, we do find a Pinkus has meaning in Halacha. It has to be, there's some level of raglayim hadavar, there's some outside evidence that the ledger is backing up, then it will be enough. We will generally not be moitzi mamon with it, unless the pinkus is l'choy vasay. If it's l'toy vasay, we cannot be moitzi mamon from a third party. However, it is enough to be mechayev ashvua. Can I just one a quick public service announcement? This coming Mitzvah Shabbos is the Night Seder Malava Malka. It's going to be here in the shul downstairs. Rabbi Eli Mansour is going to be the guest speaker. The deadline for the journal is today, so anyone who hasn't yet put in an ad is encouraged to do so.